Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia. The text for our sermon on this Good Shepherd Sunday is from the gospel reading. We hear at the beginning, Jesus saying, I am the Good Shepherd. We're going to hear how whenever Jesus uses the I am statement, this is very important for us to learn and to follow. And then also in verse 16, Jesus says, they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd. God's grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd, my sheep know me. Throughout the scriptures, and in particular in the Old Testament, the phrase or the term shepherd is used in many different ways. The shepherd and tending to one's flock is used in the book of Proverbs to guide kings, to give instruction. King Solomon says for kings to watch over their flocks. The term shepherd is also used for the priests, the Pharisees, all the leaders of Israel in some way are referred to as shepherds. Today, Jesus tells us who the good shepherd is, who the shepherd is that will not fail us, the shepherd who we can go to, who will feed us, and he will feed us with his word. But that begs the question, really, how do we know who the good shepherd is even today? Well, today Jesus defines for you what it means to have a good shepherd. He defines for us how we know if we're following a good shepherd. Well, first, the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then, again, they will listen to my voice. So our shepherd lays down his life and our shepherd speaks to us. He is the only one who will lay down his life for you, but he's not the only voice that you will hear. So on Good Shepherd Sunday, we need to remember, we have to distinguish, we have to recognize that there are lots of voices around us. There are many people and things that are vying for this position of shepherd. One who will feed you, one who will protect you, and then you too also have to examine your own heart and say, who do I treat as my shepherd? What things, people, possessions, hobbies, to what things do I flee to in a time of need? And if we think of how the world defines a good shepherd, even just on its most basic level, a shepherd as one of those guys who wanders around in the fields looking after those little white animals. Well, a good shepherd, according to worldly standards, is one who brings a good return on investment. A shepherd who loses sheep, a shepherd who starves the sheep, is not going to be employed for very long. However, a shepherd who feeds the sheep, who protects the sheep, who guides the sheep, who brings good, plump sheep full of wool, it is these things that tell you if a shepherd is good. He makes a good return on investment. Jesus, though, today teaches us he's not a shepherd according to those standards. Well, not all of them. You see, we usually value things according to the return on investment they give us. We want to put our time into things we say are worth our time. We even are told, don't put time into people that you don't like. It's a good thing Jesus doesn't treat us that way. People who upset you, people who disagree with you. Thanks be to God, Jesus is not a good shepherd according to a return on investment. Christ is not interested in investment and how much you can pay him back. I lay down my life for the sheep. This is completely opposite of worldly standards. One of the first clues we know that Jesus is not speaking according to worldly standards is the fact that he uses the phrase, I am. I am the good shepherd. I am is a very weighted and important phrase throughout the scriptures, just like the term shepherd. Jesus isn't just using this phrase, I am, to lead us to the phrase good shepherd. I am is the very name of God. We have Jesus who says, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. All these I am phrases are very loaded. The I am part of the statement has just as much to do with Jesus' point as the good shepherd or the vine or the door. This goes all the way back to the Old Testament when Moses is at the burning bush and God says, I'm sending you to Pharaoh. I'm sending you to my people Israel. Moses says, who shall I say sent me? What is your name? And God said, Yahweh, which in English means I am. But you see, in English, it's not so easy to translate Yahweh. And so we kind of have to bend the rules of English when we consider this phrase Yahweh or I am. We have to upset the English language a little bit. The Hebrew, more accurately translated, is I be or I is. There's no limit on the time aspect of this name. There is no time that God is not who he is. He always was, always is, and always will be. And in fact, Jesus displays the power of this I am when he's arrested in the garden. You remember when we were listening to the Passion read just a couple weeks ago, they came looking for Jesus and they said, are you Jesus of Nazareth? And you remember Jesus said, I am he. And everyone was knocked to the ground by that power. This name has power. Jesus is not just saying, well, I am, okay, now pay attention, the good shepherd. He gets us to pay attention to him by using that I am in and of itself. I am the good shepherd. So here, Jesus is telling us he is tying eternity, his eternal identity as God, to the work of a shepherd. He's not only concerned with the affairs of this world, but with matters that will please God. And that's what he's going to shepherd you to. A temporary shepherd is concerned with temporary rewards. A temporary shepherd, today Jesus says, is a hireling. He only does what he does because he gets paid. He's only concerned with a return on investment. And he's a nice shepherd. Not Jesus, the hireling. The hireling is a nice shepherd because he has to get everyone to like him. He is the good shepherd only insofar as he makes everyone happy. But Jesus is not a good shepherd in the sense of a nice shepherd. A nice shepherd isn't what you want. If you are concerned with the matters of God, a nice shepherd won't chase away the wolves, but will ask the wolves, hey, what is it which you would like today? No, that's a terrible shepherd. A nice shepherd wants to please the wolves and the sheep, but mostly he's always looking out for himself. It is his ideas that are always good. A nice shepherd is only worried about what is thought of him by others. But Jesus says, I am the good shepherd in the sense that he is faithful to God from all eternity as a shepherd. He does what kings, the priests, the prophets, what all of them failed to do. Jesus is faithful. He does and fulfills what a shepherd is supposed to do according to God's standard. It doesn't matter what the sheep want. In fact, it's almost as if the sheep have no say in what kind of shepherd they will have. How offensive is that to our modern ears? No, I will choose my shepherd. Imagine if you asked a first grader, what kind of parent do you want? Well, I would like a parent that gives me bubble gum for breakfast and ice cream for lunch. That would be a terrible parent. But it is one, of course, that the child thinks they want. So also it is with a nice shepherd. A shepherd who kind of just gives you what you want. But Jesus is not a good shepherd in that sense. He's not nice. God doesn't ask you what kind of shepherd you want. He doesn't give a good shepherd in that sense. Shepherds that only give sheep what they want won't cost the shepherd anything, because in the end, the shepherd always wins. Because the shepherd is a hireling. He's only there to make money. He is charged with fattening up the sheep and making sure the rancher gets a return on his investment. The idea of a hireling is that of temporary nature. Take care of these sheep, next one's in line. It's a repeated activity. Raise the sheep, fatten them, and then slaughter them. They're done. I have what I need. But Jesus says he is the eternal good shepherd. He is concerned with the eternal things because he knows who the hirelings are. So we must ask ourselves, what are the hirelings? Who are the false shepherds? Who are our temporary shepherds who only please us for a little bit of time, but then turn their back on us? Well, we must acknowledge and say it's all the things we run to besides God in time of need. Where do we spend our time? If you add up the time in your life each week and compare it with how much you listen to the voice of your shepherd, what would you see? Just on a basic level, just time, minutes, seconds. Do you know that if you brush your teeth twice a day, you spend more time brushing your teeth than you do hearing the Word of God in a sermon on Sunday? A healthy evaluation of our heart, because when we find out really who the hirelings are, it's our own hearts. It's our sinful flesh that has no problem spending hours and time in whatever activities. But yet, when our shepherd calls us to the flock, when he calls us to corral us, to gather us together, we would rather do other things. The hirelings, of course, are us. It is our own sinful, fallen heart that would rather feed on the things of this world, mainly our pride. Too often it is we who are only interested in what a hireling works for, what tickles our fancy. What bubblegum or ice cream can I fill my belly with the sugary gluttony of sin? Envy, desire, a desire to follow the crowd of hirelings, only interested in what's good for the moment. We search and search for shepherds who will only feed us garbage. Even consider our cell phones. They are modern-day hirelings feeding you. What's the phrase we use? Our social media feed, where we feed on, where we bow at the trough and get ourselves full of garbage. This is why Jesus has to be the eternal shepherd, because we are in constant need of a shepherd. We are in constant need of a good shepherd who isn't chasing after us because he's going to get so much from us, but he chases after you because you get so much from him. We wander from our shepherd. We so often don't want to eat what he gives, but your good shepherd doesn't give up. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You need a shepherd who's faithful, and that's Jesus. He's faithful not for his own sake, like he only invests for you if you're a good payout. For what kind of deal does Jesus get when he is born in the flesh, when God takes flesh upon himself? What deal does Jesus get when he's hung on the cross? He takes your sins. And what does he give you? He gives you his righteousness. He feeds you even his very body and blood. Who of us would do that for the very ones who crucified us? You don't need someone who's like the worst version of yourself, who only goes this way or that way after first considering how much will benefit. No, even while Jesus was being crucified, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Even while they were doing what they thought was best for themselves, even while they were only considering the paycheck that they were going to get for being faithful by crucifying the Son of God, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus also tells us how we can identify the good shepherd, how you know if you're following a bad shepherd. The shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The sheep don't give their life to the shepherd. But then further now, the good shepherd tells us he continually feeds us. "They hear my voice." That's why the stress today is on looking at the shepherds, looking at the troughs where you feed, and acknowledging and saying, "Where does my shepherd feed me?" The one who feeds us what we need does so by speaking. "They will listen to my voice." Here, Jesus is teaching us specifically how to feed on him. We must listen. When you avoid church or you just don't like to be fed God's word, you will feed on something else, but it's not the hand of the good shepherd. How often do you, in your weekly conversations and your prayers, do the Sunday readings come up? Or is Sunday just the only day? When you're more concerned with juicy gossip, Proverbs says gossip is like a sweet treat that goes down to rot your soul. What might be a good idea? What might be a good practice? You know, in our bulletin, we have the names for the prayers for you to pray for people during the week. Don't forget the gospel and other readings are in there too. That each day, each night perhaps, you pray the gospel reading. You remember and you review what it is your good shepherd fed you on that day when you were in his house, in his corral. It might be a good idea to talk with fellow members about the Sunday sermon or about the lesson. Just an idea, probably wouldn't hurt. Jesus tells us how his flock gathers together. "They will listen to my voice." We don't know what Jesus' voice sounds like. How can we listen to him? We don't have a recording of his voice, but we do know what he says. And it's not always, "Hey, you're always right. I am always the shepherd that you want. I will not cause difficult times. I will only guide you in smooth waters." No, the 23rd Psalm reminds us that in this life it will not be smooth. In fact, this is where our enemies abound, hirelings. But even then, the shepherd says, "I lay a table before you." We have Jesus' word and we know his voice, not by what his voice sounds like, but what he teaches. We know Jesus' doctrine. He even says, "You will know the truth and the truth will set you free." We know our shepherd's voice by what is taught. That's how we know we're being fed, when we're being taught good doctrine. So much of Christianity is about social groups or feeling good. The reason we come here is because we're taught the doctrine of Jesus. That Jesus fights on our behalf. It is not we who conquer the devil, but it is your shepherd. He says the hireling runs when the wolves come. That tells you that the wolves will come. And it's not up to how strong you are. And this is the good news. Jesus says he doesn't run when the wolves come. He stands steadfast and feeds you through his word and sacrament. Jesus doesn't run when the wolves come, but gives his life. It is there that the wolf bites and is filled when Jesus dies on the cross. The wolves are filled with his victory in the sense that they are defeated and we win. Jesus is the good shepherd because he forgives you. He loves you and protects you even when you have had your fill of sin, he calls you back. He gives you forgiveness because God knows there are plenty of shepherds out there, plenty of hirelings. Jesus died on the cross to forgive you, and his resurrection shows that he can help you turn from sin. Only don't chase the false shepherds. He baptized you into his death and resurrection to show you that you can turn from temptation. Why else would he call himself the eternal good shepherd, except that he continues to shepherd you even today? Jesus is not the good shepherd because he gets a return on his investment. He is the good shepherd because you benefit from what he gives you daily by giving his life on the cross. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Yeah.